Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Howdy, all. This is Glenn the Geek from the continuing stormy Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings in the sunny Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 26, 2011, episode 127, sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. Good morning, Horse World.
Do you know what today is?
No, what?
Yeah.
What day is it? Tell me.
It's Tuesday.
I can't believe it. I just don't believe it.
Feels like Tuesday. Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
Oh, yeah, baby. It is a beautiful day, and I'll tell you why. Because tomorrow I will be boarding a plane to go to Lexington, Kentucky, where the Rolex Kentucky 3-day event will be held over the next 5 days. So it's a Rolex. Finally, it's here. I'm so excited.
Bring your floaties. Bring your floaties. That's all I have to say. Bring your floaties.
I know. I got to go get go to Walmart today and get a pair of rubber boots to walk around in. What a mess it is over there. Holy cow. How much rain do you guys have now?
Well, I don't know. We had a little bit. Actually, yesterday we were pretty good. Last night we actually slept the whole night without thunderstorms. This morning we had one roll through that knocked out power and all kinds of stuff to Lexington here. It was the shortest thunderstorm ever, but there were about a 60-mile-an-hour gust. It actually, we keep our lawnmower outside, our pushmower covered up because we don't have a garage, and it actually flipped the entire pushmower upside down.
Oh, my gosh.
The gust was so strong this morning. Knocked trees over, knocked power out to thousands here in Lexington, and we're expecting more in about a half an hour here. So if you hear my weather alarm radio go off, you'll know. I'll have to run over and turn that off. They're saying tomorrow is going to be the worst day of the batch. And, of course, there were tornadoes all over the place yesterday in Texas and Alabama and all over the place down there. So tomorrow they're saying we could have up to 4 inches of rain tomorrow before Thursday.
So oh, my gosh.
It could be an interesting thing. You know, one of the – at Rolex, we worked for years for Bit of Britain, and we would help set up at Rolex for years. And every year it would pour down rain during setup. And, of course, all your stuff got wet. It was always a pain in the butt. It looks like they're going to have that to enjoy again, too.
All the vendors have to set up. Oh, boy. Oh, man, that's terrible. Well, at least it'll be hopefully sunny and beautiful by what? Is it going to be good on Friday?
It looks good. For Thursday looks cold and cold. But Friday, Saturday, and Sunday look like they might dry up. So let's hope so, because things can dry up pretty quick around here. So let's hope so. Hey, and for everybody that was disappointed yesterday and didn't get to hear about my birthday, go to Facebook. I posted pictures and videos, and we're going to talk about it here in just a minute, but Jennifer's going to tell us what's on first.
What's on today's show? We get to relive Glenn's birthday surprise with a little help from co-conspirator Sterling Grayburn, who is the head trainer at Gala Driving Center here in Georgetown, Kentucky. Sterling is going to be with us this morning and giving us a critique of Glenn's team driving acumen, so we get the real scoop on how well he did. And then Horse and Country TV's Katie Gilmore will be stopping by with her Tuesday European Equestrian World update. I suspect there's going to be some badminton talk there, and I anticipate plenty of fun and hijinks today. So don't be sipping your coffee over the keyboard.
And my daily win, he does go out to Sterling Grayburn and Wendy Ying, who are from the Gala Driving Center. And we're going to be talking to them in just a minute, and I'll be telling you all about what wonderful gift Jennifer put together for me. But I wanted to give them a shout-out because they took a couple hours out on Easter to do this, and I really appreciate it, and I know Jennifer did too. So, all right.
Okay, ladies, you can thank me later because I just posted it on Facebook. This daily winning goes out to Holly Ratcliffe. I don't know who you are, but you have a blog called Shoes, 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 and Horses. A girl can never have too many shoes nor too many horses, the title of her blog. And, I mean, come on, sister, you're absolutely right. You have got it figured out. So Holly Ratcliffe from Knoxville, Tennessee, I stumbled upon your blog, and she posted the Badminton Babes. The Brits, 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 she says. It is an entire post of hot guys at badminton. So enjoy all the competitors and, you know, yeah, it's just great. It's just great. So there you go. Enjoy that. I love it. I got one more. All right, this goes out to my coach yesterday, Barb Crabo, and, of course, my horse, because I had a lesson yesterday, and I ride probably 3 to 5 horses a day. I am so sore today, and I rode one yesterday. My triceps hurt, my biceps hurts, my legs hurt, every muscle in my back hurts. It's just sore because my horse yesterday jumped like you would not believe. She said he was there was some 3-foot oxers we were jumping, and she said he was clearing them by like 2 feet. And I don't jump 5 feet tall. I am 5 feet tall. I don't jump my height. So my horse was really working really hard, and Barb did tell me that I need a new saddle. She's like, this saddle, it's, you know, you're kind of fighting your saddle. It's time to get a new one. And then she started telling me about her saddle that she has. And I mean, every trainer always wants you to kind of like buy their tack and what they get. She was like, I'll let you ride in it next time. And I said, well, I've been saving up and I've got a little bit of a budget for a new saddle. And I said, I mean, I could really probably stretch it to $1,500. She laughed in my face. She's like, this saddle brand new is about $5,000. I was like, what?
What?
I almost... $5,000. I go, my horse cost $400. Cost $400. But she said something to me that actually kind of like racked my, kind of hit me in the head when she goes, but you're not riding him like a $400 horse. You're riding him like a $20,000 horse. So he needs a good saddle. I was like, oh, I never heard that before. That's the best argument to take home to my husband. Honey, I know he's a $400 horse, but we're not competing him and riding him like he's a $400 horse, okay? We're competing him and riding him like he's a $20,000 sports car, okay? He needs some good stuff. I love it. So there you go. That was my daily win.
Well, I'll tell you what, all trainers say that you need a $5,000 saddle, but there's still lots of good saddles for $1,500, $2,000.
Yeah, and that's huge for me. Like, every saddle I have was either a gift, the saddle that she hated that I'm riding in was a gift from my father like 10 years ago. It was like a Christmas/birthday gift, and it was only $500.
And thanks, Dad, it's lasted 10 years.
I know, right? So obviously the saddle's going to last me a long time, so it's time to step it up a little bit, and I'll keep that saddle forever and ever and ever. Don't you worry, Daddy.
Well, we do appreciate you contributing to the economy of the horse world when you drop your $5,000 for your new saddle.
That's not going to happen. There's no way I'm spending $5,000 on a saddle. I almost choked when she said it. But it is time to kind of invest in a new one. So I'll be looking around. She did say that maybe I could find one used for $2,500. I still was like, I cannot spend $2,500 on a saddle. But apparently that's not a big deal. Like, most people do that.
No, yeah, apparently. Ask Helena. She's been shopping for one for 2 years. Well, let's talk about, before we get Sterling on here, I got to tell you that Jennifer has always, where she has never really been really successful in surprising me with a gift. She'll vouch for that. And
I'm not a surprise maker. No.
No, she's not really good at it. But this year, you went out of bounds and beyond. She called in a lot of favors, and I think you have some things that people to thank after we're done here today. But she called in some favors and managed to get something set up on Easter Day, of all things. I had no idea. And I kind of had an idea of what it might be, and I really sort of I didn't want to ruin the surprise, so I wrote it down on a little piece of paper what my guess was, and I put it in my pocket, and I thought I'll show it to him after. And I was right. I kind of thought that it was something that involved driving, because on my bucket list was I've always wanted to drive a four-in-hand team of horses or ponies. And that was been on my bucket list for years, and I never thought it would happen. Well when we
Glenn.
Started... Yeah.
Tell everybody, before we go much further, tell everybody the extreme length I was forced to go to keep you from being absolutely sure what the surprise was, because you're so freaking nosy.
Yeah,
this
she actually...
matter of fact, I'm going to tell him, because you probably don't even know some of them.
Okay.
He's nosy, and he's a guesser, and that's the problem. It's like, just shut up, and just enjoy your birthday.
And he wouldn't.
I know.
So,
no.
Sunday morning rolls around, and my folks are in town visiting, so they're going to come along. And all he knows is that we have to leave the house at 12:30. Well, he's asking me what he needs to wear for his surprise.
Well, that was an important question.
Do I have to wear something for outdoors? Do I need barn boots? Do I need this? Do I need that? Just shut up and put clothes on. So we get that done. So I have to get Glenn's barn boots, his paddock shoes, into the car without him knowing, because the minute they go in the car, he'll know what's going on. So we wait till Glenn goes in the shower, and we rush those to the car. And then we get that accomplished. And then I have to put his helmet in the car, because he has to wear a helmet. Well, Glenn's going to look in the car on our way, because he's nosy. So we take a whole bunch of stuff my mom brought along, and we pile it on top of his helmet so he can't see it. So we're driving down the road, and Glenn goes, why is there a pair of boots in the back of the car? Those aren't my boots.
Ugh.
Those are your boots. Why are your boots in the car? And I just said, well, maybe I got a riding lesson for me for your birthday. So that shut him up for a little while. And we have to go to Georgetown, a 20-minute drive, straight down the interstate. Nothing to it. But I know that as soon as we get on the interstate that the driving center is located on, he's going to know. So I spent an hour and a half on Google Maps finding the most obnoxiously tiny back roads to take to get to the Gala Driving Center.
And we did. And she got lost.
I just drove past one of the roads. So a trip that should have taken 20 minutes took 45, because I had to take all these teeny weeny little back roads with no road signs and no lines so that Glenn wouldn't guess. That's why I can never surprise Glenn.
Next time, girl, just blindfold him.
Just blindfold him.
And then
well, you know,
gag him,
too. He got in the car, and Glenn's a good car sleeper. He said, I'm just going to sit back and relax and fall asleep. I'm going, daggone, that'll be great. No, he didn't. He's looking left. He's looking right. He's going, I wonder if this road parallels such and such. I couldn't use the GPS because he'd look on there and know where we were.
Good Lord.
Crazy.
Glenn.
I told
him
next year he's getting a bow tie.
Yeah, right.
So we do get to the Gala Driving Center after getting lost and driving around for 45 minutes. And I sort of had an inkling when we finally got over that way where we were, although she did have me lost for a while. So we got there, and when we walk in the barn, Sterling Grayburn, who actually, remember, we've had Rochelle on here to talk about driving, our friend from Massachusetts. She knows Sterling from years ago and had told us he was coming down here to become the head trainer at the Gala Driving Center, which, by the way, is an absolutely beautiful place. They hold events there. They have obstacles there. It's acres and acres and acres of open country and just beautiful. And we get there and we walk in the barn, and Sterling and his fiancée, Wendy, are getting the four-in-hand, his team of four-in-hand Hackney ponies hitched up. And I, of course, owned a Hackney pony, so that brought back memories of our Hackney pony, and they were getting the Hackney ponies all hitched up. I thought we were going to be driving a pair. I thought we were going to be going out with a pair, but then he hooked the other two up, and we were going out with a four in hand, which was so cool. That was so neat. I posted pictures on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning, and also a couple of videos that Jennifer took while we were there. And we got to drive around for 45 minutes. We were outside. We were in the indoor. He was trotting, and we just had a great time talking and hanging out with Sterling and Wendy, and we're going to be getting Sterling on here shortly. As a matter of fact, Jennifer, you probably ought to give him a call. So we were chatting and just having a great time. But then Sterling, we went back into indoor after driving around outside. By the way, it was the only 2 hours that it stopped raining the entire day on Sunday was when we were at that barn. It cleared up and it was beautiful for 2 hours, and then it started raining again. So it was just perfect. It couldn't have been any better. And we got in the indoor. He stopped. He said, "Okay, here it is." And he hands me these reins. Now, there's four reins, two in each hand total, when you're driving a four in hand like that. And I said, "What?" And, you know, this doesn't happen very often. These are his competition ponies. These are the ones that he goes in four in hand driving competitions around the world with. And he's like, "Well, you can drive them." Where we were in the indoor, which in my opinion was even more dangerous because there are walls. And if you don't steer, these ponies will just drag you right into the wall. They'll do what they're told. So
wait a second. They would literally run into the wall if you told them to.
They would probably run into the wall if you told them to. And they're Hackneys. Let's keep that in mind, too. They're a little out there. So it was, he said, "Okay, it's your turn." And he actually let me drive for about 10 or 15 minutes. I have to confess, and we'll talk to Sterling about this in a minute when we get him on here. He said, "Oh, you're doing great. You really understand this." I had no freaking clue. You know, you pull this one way because the reins all get split off into, as they go up into different ponies. By the way, how they put the harness on and keep it all straight is beyond me. So I sort of acted like I knew what I was doing. I had no idea. I was getting lucky. That was it. The only reason we didn't crash those poor ponies was because I was getting lucky. That is the only reason I didn't crash those ponies. But it was truly a delight. I had more fun. It was the best birthday I've ever had. Jennifer did great, and I wanted to thank her for that. She did terrific. I just had a blast, and these people took 2 hours out of their Easter just to do this for us, and I am so appreciative of that. Our friend Mike from drivingnews.us, who does our updates, apparently helped put this together. So he was a good sport in helping to do that, too. I just had a great time. Best birthday ever. And let's get Sterling Grayburn on here from Team Sterling in the Gala Driving Center to get his opinion of how I did driving the other day. Good morning, Sterling.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Okay, I want to thank you again for taking time, you and Wendy, for taking time out of your Easter to do this for Jennifer and for me. It is so appreciated. I can tell you it was the best birthday ever.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Jennifer said that she'd been trying for about 20-some years to surprise you with something. I'm glad we helped do that.
Well, you did, for sure. No question about it. You know, and we'll get a report on how I did here in a minute or two, but tell us a little bit about you. How long have you been driving, and did you start with ponies, or did you have horses? Tell us a little bit about your background.
I grew up in Pony Club doing combined training, and my mother ran the barn at Radnor for about 11 years, and Mom was a three-day judge and a driving judge. And a dressage judge, and so that was my background. And I started driving when I was about 15, I guess, have kind of, you know, I grew up outside the Devon Horse Show, and I used to go and watch the coaching classes there. So that was my sort of introduction to driving, and I've been playing at it off and on. You know, when I was in the Navy, I'd take leave and go to a horse show and navigate or something like that, just to get my hand back in it again a little bit, and. So I've been doing. I've been training professionally since 89, something like that.
Well, I have to tell Jamie, I got to tell you, Sterling is the most patient trainer, and so patient and so calm. I was driving his competition ponies, trying to wreck them into the wall, and he was so calm about it. I have to
Glenn.
Say, you are. I don't know if you were doing that just for me or if you're normally that patient a trainer, but I have to compliment you for that.
Well, thank you, thank you. Yeah, I never really felt like I had to reach up and grab the reins and stop us from running into anything solid. So you did good, Glenn.
Well, listen here, Sterling. I don't know if you were listening when Glenn said before you came on the line that I just pretended to know what I was doing. I had no idea. So you handed the reins to somebody who was faking it.
But he did a good job faking it. I mean, I've had people that I've held the reins to that acted like they were just holding, you know, pieces of leather and kind of forgot that there was something at the other end of them. And Glenn actually did drive them and did make the turns quite well. You know, I wasn't ready to turn them loose on the hazards yet, but he did very well.
Oh,
that's right. I wasn't
Glenn.
Ready to be turned loose on the hazards. Just trust me. Now, I got to tell you that whole thing where you're holding the two sets of reins and you're, you know, which ones are controlling which, and I really still to this point, I don't think I get it. I think I got lucky, but I don't think I get it. I don't totally get it. But you know what? It did help that I drove at least singles. I'm not ready for fours yet. I think singles for a while there, Sterling.
Well, you know, that's usually a better way to start. And not everybody wants to start with a four in hand of Hackney Ponies either, but you guys all did very well.
Well, Sterling, now you've driven horses and ponies and all kinds of things. Do you prefer ponies?
I don't have a strong preference either way. You know, I like the ponies. They're a lot of fun. They're fast. I don't know if I told you, but those guys are all named for racing motorcycles. I thought about going for race cars, but I thought, you know, they're a little bit smaller than the cars, so I'd go with the racing motorcycle. So you were driving Penton, Moat de Guzzi, Ducati, and I lied. Penton wasn't there. Montesa and Velocette. And I also tried to go with a little bit less known, although Ducati, pretty much everybody knows who Ducati is. But anyway, just because they're little and they're fast and they're very maneuverable and they're a lot of fun. And even though most horse people don't have time for hobbies, the driving those ponies is kind of my hobby.
Okay, Sterling.
But I drive
you,
horses.
You got it right,
though.
World
championship with a horse.
They're Hackney ponies. I was sitting in the back.
Yeah.
They bugged me and finally convinced me to sit in the back and, like, watch all this. So if you blink your eyes too hard, those ponies notice. My
they are responsive.
Yeah, they're very responsive.
I noticed you got off pretty quick.
Yeah, she didn't
you
stay on
You got off
long.
Pretty quick when I handed the reins to Glenn.
Busted.
Jennifer really wasn't ever a big fan of driving, especially... She would go with me with my two safe ponies, but once I got to Hackney and I called them my Ferrari, and see, the thing with it is at that point, Jamie, I didn't know any better. I didn't know what I was doing. I also didn't know that I was doing anything right or wrong, so I just went. You know, I wasn't thinking about it. I just drove. You know, the couple times he drove me into ditches and stuff, it was like, oh, okay. But, you know, but Jennifer didn't like being driven into ditches too much. She wasn't really fond of that.
I would imagine not. So maybe you did. Sterling's the crazy one for riding with you then. That's what I'm thinking.
Now, you have a girlfriend, too, Wendy, who was along with us, and she is one of the very few women that does four in hands, right?
That's correct. That's correct.
And she does. Now, tell us about her horses. She does something called, what was it? What are they called again?
Sport Cobs.
Sport Cobs, okay. Gotcha.
The Sport Cob, the first pair of horses that we bought together were a mix of Welsh Cob and Arab with a little Pinto thrown in. And the Welsh breeders were a little bit unfriendly when we showed up with our horse-sized Welsh ponies, and they didn't want us showing against their mountain ponies. So Wendy said, well, fine, if you don't want us to be Welsh Cobs, we'll be Sport Cobs, and henceforth anything that comes in. And I'm not sure she ever made it legal, but she had a registry, the Sport Cob registry, and one of the few requirements was you had to roach their manes because Wendy didn't want to have to braid four manes in the morning. And so we have a Dutch harness horse that sometimes gets listed as a Sport Cob, and a Georgian Grand that sometimes gets listed as a Sport Cob. So that's been the basis of the team, and they're all within, you know, between 15-2 and 16 hands, so kind of kind of a little bit of a cob size, and that's where that came from.
And they're beautiful too, Jamie. They are beautiful horses.
I have a question. I have a question for you. So, Glenn, when Sterling hands you the reins,
yeah.
And somebody on the video says...
And I pooped my pants? You mean when he handed me the reins and I pooped my pants? Let's qualify that.
Well, somebody was walking next to you, and they said, would you like me to walk next to you? And Sterling's like, no, it's fine. And Glenn's like, yes, please walk next to us. Is that
that was Wendy. Yeah, that was Wendy.
I love that part on the video. Oh, my gosh. It was like, yes, please, walk next to me. Like, you're a 7-kid. You have to lead around on a pony, a hackney pony.
You got to understand, I had never even sat in a four-in-hand carriage before. I've sat in pairs. I've sat in singles, but I had never even sat in a four-in-hand carriage. So it is a little more intimidating when you're looking between the ears of four horses and not just one.
And Jamie, I will say that his eyes got a little big when I said, "Are you ready to drive?" and handed him the reins.
Oh yeah, I'm sure, like saucers. But you know what? You've got to toughen up, Glenn, because that was your bucket list. And that's why you have a bucket list, is to check things off. And it's
that's
just
right.
A good thing that you didn't hand him Sterling 4 Percherons or something, because then he might have actually run away. I think he could handle 4 hack ponies.
Well, Sterling, I know you have a lesson to get ready for this morning. Thank you so much for doing what you did. It was very nice of you guys to do it and take the time out of your Easter. I truly appreciate it. It was a highlight. I absolutely loved it. I can't wait to come out and do it again sometime.
You're always welcome, Glenn. We had a good time, and nice to meet you all.
Well, let's before you go, though, let's put in a plug for Gala Driving Center, too.
Okay, yep. Gala Driving Center, we're out here off of Cynthiana Road in Georgetown. We offer lessons and training. We have our annual combined driving event the weekend of May 22nd. And, weather permitting, come on out, watch. If you're more interested, come out and volunteer. And we do lessons year-round and training year-round. We have about 750 acres. We also do an annual subscription, so if you just want to come out and hack around the property, we do that too.
Is it 750 acres?
Yeah.
Wow.
You mean you can just
pay
like a little subscription fee and just come out and use it for your own personal go for a hack place?
Yes, ma'am.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
750 acres.
Yeah,
wow, that's
not
great.
Too long after you left, one of our neighbors came over and then went driving. They used the indoor and then went out for a drive. Yeah, you'll have to come back sometime when it's not been raining for 40 days and 40 nights so we can go out around the property.
Yes, we'll definitely have to do that. And Wendy promised me a ride with her sport cubs, too. So that should be a lot of fun, too. Well, thank you, Sterling.
Yeah.
And that's Gala. It is galadrivingcenter.com and teamsterlingdriving.blogspot.com. And we'll put links to both of those on our Facebook page and in our show notes. We appreciate it. We'll see you again soon.
Yeah, great. One warning, Glenn. If she starts yipping, hold on tight.
Okay. Again, I doubt she'll be handing me the reins for those particular horses. Thanks, Sterling.
You're very welcome. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's so sweet. Good job, Jennifer. Finally, I know it's hard to surprise him because he is a little nosy, rosy guesser. But are we going to do this? Like when you said there's a birthday surprise on Saturday, he's like, are we going to go get a dog? Are we going to go to this? Are we going to do this? Are we going to do this? And you take the fun out of it when you guess. So just shut up and don't guess next year, okay?
Yeah, that's fun.
I was thinking about the Greyhound. I thought it's either going to be a drive of some kind, although I didn't picture four in hand, or it's going to be a Greyhound. But then I got to thinking about the Greyhound, and we kind of have this thing that when we get a dog, we both have to like it and agree with it. We sort of take them on a test run. Greyhounds are kind of weird that way, and they want you to do that. So I thought, that's probably not it. I didn't think that would be it. But so she did good. Who do you have to thank, Jennifer? I know you had a lot of co-conspirators.
Well, I think you hit most of them. Mike Arnold was key because I sent him an email and said, hey, got any contacts around here that we could maybe tap into to try to get Glenn driving some time with the reins in his hands to get him on the lines. And he just jumped right on it, got me hooked up with the folks over at Gala Driving Center. And they very kindly, we emailed back and forth and called back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And like, oh, my God, the rain's coming down. How are we going to do this? Wendy and Sterling really stepped up and put up with my panicked phone calls. Oh, my gosh, it's pouring down rain. How are we going to do this?
Yeah, and they were
very good.
Yeah, they were. And, it just stopped raining for that 2 hours and then it started pouring again.
Yep.
But, yeah, Mike apparently was instrumental. Mike, shout out, thank you very much. He is, of course, our regular contributor who does the driving updates here from drivingnews.us. And I found out that Mike apparently is pretty well, he's been credited because of that website for really bringing the driving community together and pushing it forward. So good job, Mike, and thank you very much.
And Mike, what's
that?
What's Mike's website?
It's drivingnews.us.
That's right.
Drivingnews.us. And he's a good guy, too, and we really appreciate his efforts. Thank you all. It was fun.
Well,
thank you, Jennifer.
I'm glad you had fun. And thanks, Jennifer, so much for taking the videos and the pictures. It was great. So we do appreciate that. Just to let you guys know about our sponsor for today, of course, is Pfizer Animal Health, bringing you the whole show. And you can help protect your horse with Pfizer Animal Health's West Nile Innovator, the first vaccine to help protect against equine West Nile virus. West Nile Innovator is available in several combinations. You can get it with Eastern, Western, and Venezuelan equine encephalomyelitis and tetanus for convenient protection. Contact your veterinarian about West Nile Innovator and other Innovator family vaccines or learn more at PfizerAH.com.
So we head out today after the show to set up our recording equipment over at Rolex at the old indoor arena where the trade fair is. So we're going over there to set up. We'll be in the judges box area in the stands. So, and it looks like, Jamie, we're going to have a clear shot to the great big TV that they put at the end of the trade fair. It looks like we'll be able to, so far, keep your fingers crossed, there's nothing blocking our path of seeing that TV. And Chris informed me yesterday that the show really starts about 10 o'clock each day. So we're only going to miss the first half an hour. We'll be able to see that on the TV anyway. So it looks pretty good. Looks pretty good for how everything's working out. We hope, knock on wood, that that it all goes off without a hitch. If you're coming around, I know Aubrey and a couple of others had said they're coming. We would love for you to stop by when we're recording in the morning and see us over at Rolex one of the days. And we're going to have a guest on here shortly from EcoGold talking about some bloggers that are going to be there, and they're going to be joining us every day, too. She'll be coming up in a little bit here. Now, you haven't given us an update lately on the puppies.
Oh, my gosh. They are so huge, Glenn. It's, you know what's funny is I was talking to my mom yesterday, and she said, you know, I was telling her about the show. She's like, I missed the show. What happened? And I told her, I said, you know, we were talking about people that have kids, and, you know, how when somebody with a child asks you a question and then you go to answer the question, but then they turn around and start yelling at their children, Jeffrey, you sit down. We did the whole thing yesterday.
Yeah,
my mom
started. I was falling off my ball.
Yeah, my mom on the phone started laughing hysterically in my face. Like when I said, what is so funny? She goes, you don't understand. You're the same way, just with your puppies. She's like, I'll be on the phone with you, and I'll say, how's it going? You'll be like, Boomer, get off that. Zinjana, sit down. Stop it. Don't chew on that. What were you saying, Mom?
You do, actually. You do it when you're on the air, too, come to think about it.
I do. I said, but is that super sad? Like, is that a sad state of affairs when most people do it for their children, and I'm yelling at puppies at the age of 33? Like, what is wrong with me? Yeah, so my mom got a good laugh out of that one. But they're doing good. They both have some issues that we are working on behaviorally. Zenyatta has gotten very long. She's gotten tall, but she hasn't gotten very long. And being long helps her put her front feet up on anything, which includes the counters in the kitchen. I've never had a dog attempt to get on top of my counter in the kitchen. And she just walks. She can walk around on her hind legs and keep her feet up on the counter. She scoots along the countertop like eating whatever is in the general area. The other thing she does is she likes to jump in the dishwasher. That's fun. She's going to break the door off the dishwasher because there's food on the dishwasher. This is great.
So you got a chow hound in Zenyatta, huh?
Oh, my gosh. She eats everything. I don't understand. The dog has not been starved a day in its life, and it is more aggressive than the dogs I have had that have been starved in previous lives. I don't get it. Anybody have any suggestions about what to do if your dog? She jumps up on everything. She jumps up on people. She jumps up on the counter. She jumps in the dishwasher. Like, she's very athletic, and she has no boundaries. And then you go to go, Zenyatta, get down. And she lays down on her back in submissive position. So and how do you yell at that? She's like, oh, I get it. I give up. And then she lays down, and then you're like, oh, she's so cute. Oh, come here. And then you end up cuddling her. And then Boomer, he needs to be neutered. I cannot wait to say goodbye to those things because that is going to be a holiday in this house. Goodbye, testicles. Oh, I can't wait. He's like, poor Riddy, our 14-year-old basset hound. Boomer is our male dog, obviously, and he and our 15-year-old basset hound love each other. They love each other so much that I caught Boomer humping my 15-year-old basset hound.
Oh, my God.
Like, will you get off her? She is like your grandma.
That's kind of like incest, isn't it?
It's just gross anyway. So, yeah, I cannot wait to kiss those puppies goodbye. But the Boomer Adventures, on Sunday, we went out, and this is my husband and my Easter holiday. We celebrated, all of the religion and stuff out in the open fields in the desert. So I got on my horse. He got on his mountain bike, and we took the puppies, and we went just straight. My front yard is like 10,000 acres of desert. It's awesome, scary and awesome at the same time. So we were just walking around. He's riding his bike, and the puppies are with us. But there's these irrigation canals that go through these parts of the desert to carry water to different neighborhoods. And they were flowing. And Boomer thinks that water is the coolest thing that he's ever been in, ever. And he will jump in any water, the pool, a puddle, whatever it is, it's water he wants in it. So here goes Boomer. He sees this irrigation canal flowing with water, and he jumps in and gets swept away down the canal.
No.
And he's having so much fun. He's biting the water as he's, like, spinning around going down this thing. He's not scared at all. Of course, we know that there's a waterfall about, 50 yards down. And so my poor husband jumps off his bicycle and goes sprinting down the canal, or it's like reaching down. And the canal is probably like 4 feet wide. Of course, Boomer gets swept to the other side. So Chad jumps the canal to grab his dog. And then Boomer gets spun around to the other side. And so Chad jumps back over the canal. Mind you, he's in mountain biking, like clip-on mountain biking shoes. And I'm like, get him, honey. Get him. Save him. Save him. He's going to go down the waterfall. Of course, the waterfall would be like no big deal. But to me, it was this dramatic, like, save Lassie kind of event. So he finally gets Boomer, and he gets on his belly, and he reaches out and, like, grabs him and scoops him up, pulls him out. I'm like, you saved him. You saved him. Oh, yay. Chad stands up and he's like, thank you. And he waves at me, and Boomer jumps back in. I had to take off my belt, and we had to lead Boomer away from the canal because we're like, dude, stop jumping in. So that is the adventures of Boomer and Zenyatta. It's probably more than you wanted to know.
That is funny about the jump-in story, though. Boomer seems to be the adventurous do-anything type, for sure.
Oh, yeah. And she's naughty. Like, Boomer comes when he's called. She looks at you and gives you the middle finger and runs away. I think maybe if I take her ovaries out, it'll be way better, too. So, everybody's getting spayed. I can't wait.
Everybody.
Yep.
Everybody in the pool.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I wanted to ask you, and you can do the whip right now.
Oh, hold on. I've got to find it here. Let's see. Go ahead. Start to ask me.
Okay. I wanted to ask you if you saw the budding romance that's happening on Facebook in the... Thank
what
you.
Now?
If you saw the budding romance that's happening on Facebook in the racehorse world.
No, do tell.
Oh, you should see the things Rachel Alexander's been writing on Mucho Macho Man's wall.
No way. Oh, my
yes.
God.
She yes.
Pregnant with another man's baby.
I know, but Rachel Alexander wrote, I love him on Mucho Macho Man's wall. And she was encouraging her fans to write on Mucho Macho Man's wall. A little romance going on over there in Mucho Macho Man territory.
Oh, my gosh. I got to check this out. I don't see her on here anywhere. Let's see. Okay.
Scroll down.
God. She is such a hussy. She is pregnant with Curlin's baby. And here she is posting on Rachel's wall. That's awesome. That is awesome. People are even calling her out. Like, I think you have a crush on him. And what is up with the Mucho Macho Man billboards that you posted? Where did
How
it
about
come from?
That? I don't know who paid for them, but they're the first billboards ever for a racehorse that's going in the Kentucky Derby all over Atlanta, apparently. So I don't know if Patty paid for those or who ended up paying for those, but Mucho Macho Man has billboards.
You know what's cool about that, Glenn, is Mucho Macho Man has billboards in a place that has no horse racing. I mean, none. There is no horse racing allowed in Georgia, and they're trying to make it legal. Lobbyists are trying to pass some legislation. They've been trying since I was born to get horse racing in Georgia because it makes so much money for the state. And so Mucho Macho Man, being owned by Patty and her husband, she is actually – becoming like they're becoming the poster child, I guess, and here you go, for horse racing in Georgia. And so I think they think if they get everybody excited about it, people are going to go, oh, I want more. That hey, there you go.
Well, and I think, too, when I read the little bit about it, apparently that's what they were trying to accomplish with it was getting the excitement up down there for having these billboards there. So let's hope it does that. That'll be cool if it does, you know. We can replace then some of the billboards for the adult bookstores and massage parlors that are all over frickin' Atlanta.
Did you know that Atlanta is like one of the only places in the world where strippers are totally naked and they won't let horse racing in, yet they'll have these hoochie mamas dancing on stage completely in the nude? It doesn't make any sense, I'm telling you.
Well, you know what? I think Rachel Alexander is going to be opening her own little strip club the way it sounds here, the little thing. She apparently can't get enough. Curlin wasn't good enough. Now she's going after the young one.
That's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm picking up. So I'm sure Curlin, you know, maybe he's a little bit busy. You know, he could be a player. He's probably breeding 70 other mares. He don't care about her. So she might as well get with the hero. What's wrong with us? We have a problem.
Yes, we do. We're talking about horses like they're people again. Well, next up, we have coming up with us, Patricia Da Silva of Eco Gold. Eco Gold is one of our sponsors here at the Horse Radio Network. They make a fine line of saddle pads and boots and things that a lot of the professional riders use, and you're going to see a ton of them at the Rolex this year. Eco Gold saddle pads everywhere. They're very well liked, and they're top quality stuff. Eco Gold is definitely top quality, and you're going to see them all over the place at Rolex. Well, one of the things that EcoGold does very well, thanks to Patricia, is they are the best at new media. She puts out videos and is very active. They have a huge following with new media, and they're doing something really cool this year for Rolex, and we got her on here to talk to us about what they're doing and how we're going to participate in that. So good morning, Patricia.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Are you in the bluegrass yet?
No, I'm in near Columbus,
Ohio. Oh, well,
Ohio.
You're going to be here soon. You'll be here soon.
About 2 hours away.
Well, as I tell Jamie, who's coming in tomorrow, bring your floaters. You're going to need your life vest because
oh, no.
a little wet down here. So tell us what you're doing here with something you're calling the Amy Blogger Experience.
The Amy Blogger Experience. Basically, it's an idea I had. I don't even know how. But I just posted on our Facebook. I said, hey, does anybody want to help out doing our Rolex coverage? And I thought I'd get, like, one person. Because I said, I'm not giving you pads. I'm giving you M&Ms. And they said, sure. And, like, 15 people wanted to do it. So what we decided to do is send these people on different adventures. Of course, we sponsor, I think, about 18 riders that are going to be at Kentucky competing. So they'll get to meet them. They'll get to talk to the grooms. They'll participate in some private course walks. So it's all fun stuff that they'll get to do, and then they will write a blog on our blog, each of them, every day, of something they've done or, you know, something cool that they want to talk about. And I give them complete freedom. They can write whatever they want. They can take any photos. It's their blog. So they're, you know, it's their thing. They're doing it. And what was cool is that you told us that you'd have them on your show. So when I told them, you know, I don't know if you could hear the screams. They're super excited. Like, they're excited to meet me. So just... So that's the level of, you know, of excitement. I was like, really? I like that.
Well, that's terrific. This is going to be so much fun. So we're going to have a different one every day join us live on the show, right?
Exactly, yes. And they come from all kinds of backgrounds. Like, we have someone from Texas that's going to be volunteering as a fence judge at Rolex, and she's done it for years. So she'll have a different perspective. Then we have like two Canadians. We have one from Colorado. They're from all over the place, and the only thing that unites them, it's their love for, you know, for horses and for eventing. And some of them have never been to Rolex. It's going to be their first time. One other girl, it's their every year they come, and this year it's their graduation present from college. So it's really fun. And a lot of them do have blogs already that I link to it all the time because they're really interesting, sometimes more than, you know, the official blog is people that talk about their horses and their lives, and you know, they try to balance work or college with the horse world, and it's not always it's not always easy. So it's always interesting what they have to say, and I feel that we don't hear their voices enough.
Well, I agree. And, you know, we of course, are very supportive of bloggers. That's how our first guest ever on the Horse Radio Network was a blogger, was Jackie from Regarding Horses. So, you know, we're very supportive of bloggers, and we have a lot of them on the show here. So when I saw that you were doing that, I thought, well, what a great way to give them some additional exposure, too.
And I mean, they're funny, and they write well, and some of them are, like, one of them is a lawyer, but she's an amazing photographer. She actually, at WEG, what we did is, you know, sometimes like photographs are very expensive. So we said, you know, if any amateur photographer wants to trade photos for a saddle pad, we'll do it.
Hello.
And we had the photos on our catalog are all amateur photos.
Jamie would like to take pictures for you.
Okay.
Yep. I certainly would. I got an iPhone. I'll shoot video. I'll do whatever you need.
And it's going to be fun. And I mean, with the depth of the people that we sponsor, you know, you have Philip Dutton that's going to come by, Karen O'Connor, Boyd. We have Clayton Fredericks that's coming. We sponsor him. So, I mean, it's and also some young up-and-comers like Hannah Burnett and Diana Burnett and all these guys. So they'll get a different feel that, you know, these people don't have access to these people, and it's a big deal for them. Like, they told me, oh, if you can get Karen O'Connor, oh, my God, we're going to die. And I said, yeah, for sure. I can. You know, for me, it's you know, I work with these people, so it's not, you know, we get kind of not blasé, but it's you know, in your job you deal with these people, so it's not the same thing than the amateur rider that has grown up just looking up at these amazing riders. So,
oh yeah, if we can, you gotta realize these are like, I mean, these are big time celebrities to us.
Yep.
You know, the name Karen O'Connor. I mean, good Lord, that is just somebody that all of us just dream to be an auditor in our clinic, you know?
Mm-hmm. So I know last year, actually, we had an autograph session, and we had Karen and Philip. And, you know, I've done autograph sessions before at other shows with other writers. And half an hour before the autograph session, we have about 200 people lining up. And
yeah.
I said,
yeah.
It's not now. Like, come back in. No, we're
not going to lose our place in line.
No way.
Said, really? And it was just madness.
Were you giving out iPads, too, at the same time? Or
No, I wasn't. They were just giving signatures. And I said, we ran out of posters. And at a certain point, I was afraid of, you know, what they were going to do to
a
us.
A riot?
So this year, we're not doing autograph sessions. It was too scary.
That's funny.
We're doing something else, but.
What I like about this idea, Patricia, is that, you know, you're kind of getting the Rolex perspective from the spectator's point of view, and you're
exactly.
reaching people internationally because that's where your blog is viewed.
Yep.
So you're touching people and you're reaching people that have never been to Rolex before, but also given the people that are there, because I have gone every year since I was a kid. It was just kind of a holiday that we went on going up to Kentucky when I grew up in Georgia. And it's definitely a holiday, and the amateur voice is not heard. But it's funny because you will sit around, like, say, the water jump. And it's almost like American Idol when all the judges are – none of them are good singers, but they all comment on the singer.
Oh, yeah, they do.
And yeah. So it's like you in your living room watching American Idol because the professional Karen O'Connor will come through and you will hear people in the crowd go, you know, I think she should have used a little more leg coming up to that fence. Really? Because I think it's a half haul. It's like all of a sudden, all of us are Rolex riders commenting on every rider that goes through. And
it's like the Chronicle Forums, but live.
Yes, exactly. It is the Chronicle Forums totally live. So I think what you're doing is great.
Yeah, and one other thing we're doing with these people is they're going to actually take over our social media platforms. So they're taking over our blog, and then they're taking over Twitter. So they're going to be at all different locations, different fences, and you're going to see the feed from EcoGold, and we're going to put hashtags with their names so you know who's tweeting, but it's all going to be under EcoGold, and they're going to be tweeting and Facebooking, and I just gave them the password. I said, here you go. You take over our social media. It's up to you. And I asked, like, are they volunteers that want to do it and are not crazy people? Because I've never met them. And so it's kind of a leap of faith. It's kind of an experiment that we're going to do, and we'll see how it goes. Maybe it's going to be a complete disaster. Who knows? But I just wanted to, you know, do a bit of earned marketing. Do stuff
Listen, you can say you're doing marketing. You can say you're doing whatever you want. But I know you're taking a vacation. You're like, well, I don't have to be sitting there doing all this crap. So
I've got
all these amateurs, and you're going to be out course walking with me watching the cross-country course. So
yeah,
I think
no,
you're
I'm
going to
be at my booth eating M&Ms. That's what I'm
Yeah, why work? Just sit back. Sit on a saddle pad and have some M&Ms. Why not?
Hey, Jamie, I know where we can go for M&Ms now. We just need to find her booth.
Oh,
we
I bought.
Oh, good. Hopefully we're not set up too far from her.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Where are you guys
no
at the Trade Fair?
We're going to be actually in the judges box where the judges would be during the shows in the stands. So we're going to be set up
there.
So yeah, so we're actually going to be overlooking the floor. And then, you know, it should be a good spot for us because we'll be able to see a lot.
Yeah, it's like Prince Panache Lane or something like that, is it not?
Well, actually, we're going to be in the old indoor.
I think that's what it's called. Like they
Two
things.
I don't have no idea.
They're named after horses, the lanes.
Okay, cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, there you go. Because we were there last year.
I just hope we can see the big screen. That's all we care about.
Oh, no, I think you will. You can see it pretty much from
And, of course, there. I want to mention everybody, too, that the Eventing Radio Show will be every evening from 4 to 5:30. So we're actually doing 3 hours of coverage there every day.
Wow.
So that'll be a lot of fun. And we're looking forward to meeting your amateur rider bloggers. We're looking forward to that. That'll be fun. We'll work out a time with you. We're heading over there today, actually. We'll be over there this afternoon getting set up, so I'll look for you.
Okay, super. Me too.
All right. Thank
and hopefully
you, Kristen,
we'll have a good Rolex and some Canadians are going to win.
Got her plug in.
or an Eco Gold rider. It doesn't matter who. We have enough.
There you go. Set
it. All right. Boyne.
And that's ecogold.ca for everybody that wants to check that out.
Yeah, and check our Facebook page. We'll have more surprises. We'll have
what's the blog?
We'll have
like?
Some events that we're not announcing anywhere, and it will be like a little underground party where you have to be, you have to know where and when, because we're not going to announce them.
And
oh,
that'll
cool.
be
that's
going to
be
so
on Facebook and Twitter.
Okay,
I'm going
to say
so and so is here at now.
Okay, well, I'm already following you on Facebook because I don't want to miss a party. That's one thing we don't want to miss. So we'll make sure that we're there. Thank you, Patricia. We appreciate it. EcoGold.ca.
Yep, and looking forward to meeting you, Jamie.
We'll see you soon. Can't wait.
Okay, right, take
bye-bye.
Care, guys, and thanks for having me.
No problem.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
Bye.
The blog is ecogold.blogspot.com. So
okay,
easy,
good,
easy
good.
To remember.
Cool. Well, that's going to be fun. You know, we did a couple of years ago when we did our first coverage, but when we had 12 listeners, and we did our first coverage of the Eventing Radio Show, when the Eventing Radio Show probably had hundreds of listeners. Now they have tens of thousands. But, you know, when we were doing our first Rolex coverage, we actually got the Pony Club involved, and we had Pony Club remote reporters. And I gave them phone numbers to call and actually call in a five-minute report every day from Rolex, and we played it on the Eventing Radio Show for our daily coverage. They were terrific, and they had so much fun calling in their reports. They were great. They did a good job. They really did a good job. I was very impressed.
Well, you know, there's something to be said about the excitement of youth and the energy of youth.
Well, you know, too, there's something to be said about the excitement of Rolex. When we have people on the air at Rolex, if we just drag somebody out of the audience or if you just corner somebody for an interview, when you're at Rolex, everybody is excited. Everybody's energy's up, and they're all just so happy to be there. It's a whole different atmosphere, don't you think? Do you still get that way?
I'm telling you that they, like I told you before, you know, and because I can, I'll quote Winston Churchill, who said, there's something about the outside of a horse that's good for the inside of a man. And I think that there's something about the inside of Kentucky that is just good for women in general. I don't know what it is. You go to the bluegrass and you feel better. Going into Lexington, you get energized and excited. And apparently it rained on.
That's right.
But
right,
I do want to point out, just for those people that don't have that are not going to Rolex this year, you can check out all the coverage on usefnetwork.com, and then you can just follow the links to Rolex. They're going to be doing a lot of live broadcasting, which is a first from what I know of, that they're going to be doing dressage and cross country, and then show jumping. They'll lead up to when NBC takes over. So you'll
that's
see
right.
some coverage
yep.
all the way up to, and that's on Sunday. So check out USEF, United States Equestrian Federation, network.com, and you can find some Rolex coverage there.
All right. Well, our song today is sponsored by Pocket Stable. Pocket Stable is the only iPhone app that's been created for horse owners who want to keep all of their information, including vaccines and wormers and farriers and dentist visits and all that stuff, easily accessible. You can also track weight and get reminders of when those important events are coming up. It'll remind you when your farrier visit is due or when your vaccine is due, or more importantly, when your worming is due this time of year. So you can find Pocket Stable in the App Store on your iPhone, or you can visit them at pocketstable.com. Be sure to download it. It's well worth having. And, you know, I thought, well, what would be appropriate for today? And I just felt like a little life on Planet Cowgirl.
Mm-hmm. and having faith, making sure you make the most of every breath you take, and knowing that today ain't just another day going by. And it's living every moment in the here and now, knowing that there's blue skies back behind the clouds. Never saying never, 'cause that just ain't how you ride. That's life on planet Cowgirl. I'm grateful every day that I get to call in my world. There ain't no better place. Bring on that horizon, shooting for the moon and stars. Heading down the trail, let's travel even though it must be a long and winding rocky road. You ain't scared at all, 'cause deep inside you know. Life on planet Calvary, I'm grateful every day that I get to call in my world. There ain't no better place.
Templeton Thompson, Life on Planet Cowgirl, and we all live on that planet every once in a while, I guess. And, of course, you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network today, brought to you by Pfizer Animal Health. I'm Jamie Jennings with Glenda Geek, and coming up in just a minute, we're going to talk to Katie Gilmore from Horse and Country TV doing our European report, and it's just badminton, badminton, badminton. We got to get the, you know, the gossip from the event. We've got it. Actually, I think she's ready to go. Fantastic. So let's say hello to Katie. Hello, Katie.
Hi. How are you?
I promise. I promise this time I'm not going to try to do your accent, because I realize that I just embarrass myself when I do it. And it's not important enough to make you mad.
It doesn't make me mad at all.
Makes me mad. What are you talking about?
But we're talking, of course, today about badminton, and what an awesome event it was. The winner, you know, what a cool story. I'm sure you're going to get into that. So I guess, you know, take it away and give us the gossip.
Well, I traveled to badminton on Thursday. I have to say today I have a little bit of a what I'd refer to as a badminton hangover. You know, it's been a long event. It's been fantastic. Very exciting and nail-biting at times. We arrived on Thursday for the grassroots. They've just started doing this at badminton where they run a competition as a one-day event, which the fence is up to about 90 centimetres and a class for 100 centimetres. And it's a great idea because it gives less experienced amateur riders a chance to ride on what is hallowed turf at badminton. And also, as they're riding, exercising their horses alongside them are some of the best riders in the world. So that was all very exciting. We arrived there and had a good look at that. And then the competition started properly on Friday with the dressage phase. And overnight, it was led by a first-timer at badminton who was just 21 years old. So we had a chat with her. She was rather shell-shocked by it, her very first badminton to be leading. She eventually did very, very well, actually, and she maintained her lead for quite some time. At the end of the dressage, we had Ruth Edge leading, who herself is a dressage rider, so it was kind of unsurprising that she would have got the best score there. But unfortunately, on the second day with the cross-country, Ruth had to withdraw after two refusals. The cross-country test was incredibly exciting. We walked the course. There are photos on our website of the course if you want to get a really close look at the fences. It was very technical, and it was difficult, I would say. It claimed a fair few horses and riders. There were quite a few falls this year. I would say probably more than usual. But, and what is good news, is all riders and horses were fine.
Yeah, there were.
That
was
amazing.
Three of the Irish riders went down, which was kind of interesting to have so many from one country. But there, I know there were a couple taken off to the hospital. Is everybody okay?
They're absolutely fine. Elizabeth Power was airlifted to hospital just because she lost consciousness after a fall. Before she was taken off, she was awake, she was lucid, and she was moving her arms and legs. So basically it was a precaution that she was taken off. And Ingrid Klimke from Germany was taken off for a knee x-ray as well. Again, at the site, they didn't think there was a break there, but they weren't going to take any risks. The great news is the vets had nothing to do on course all day, and that's always fantastic news. So although some of the falls looked quite dramatic, the horses were fine.
Speaking of looking dramatic, I got to watch the video. Jamie, did you see the video of Karen O'Connor's fall yet?
You know, I can't watch stuff like that, actually.
Well, it didn't look bad, did it, Katie, until the horse backed up off the table and fell off, and that's where the horse broke a rib. But, you know, I thought she was going to be – she didn't hit very hard at all, but, boy, when the horse backed up and fell off the table, it was tough to see.
Yeah, she was on her feet by the time the horse fell from – it was actually from the bank rather than from a table. There were gasps. I mean, it did look bad. The other one that looked bad was Oliver Townend and Ashdale Master Cruise, where the horse went over. But again, you know, the horse is fine, and both Oliver and the horse were fine. The reason you often see the riders not getting up quite so quickly is because their .2 air jackets go off. And it wins a bit. So, I mean, you see yourself in their position. They've just done 6-7 minutes of an 11-minute course at a full-on gallop. Their breathing is pretty rugged, and then their air jackets go off, which compresses their chests further. So it's not that they're injured. It's just often that they're literally just trying to catch their wind to be able to get up.
Well, and I will say this, because they're a sponsor of ours for the Rolex coverage, and I'm not just saying it because of that. Those .2 air jackets have saved some people this year.
Yeah, I think they're pretty much essential wear, I would say.
Well, I was going to ask you, too, how many of the cross-country riders did you notice wearing them, or could you tell?
You couldn't tell with all of them. In FEI competition, the new hybrid jackets are also attached. They're not in British competitions yet. And, of course, badminton is FEI. So you couldn't tell with all of them because some of them, it looked like they're wearing a normal body protector, but they're...
Oops, I think we lost her.
Oh, no.
We just lost her, and we got to remember, too. Hopefully she'll give us a call back here. We have to remember that she is calling from England, so the connection's always not always going to be terrific. So she'll be giving us a call back. And obviously, you know, one of the things we were talking about, the excitement of going to Rolex. Can you imagine the excitement that everybody has when they get to go to badminton every year?
Oh, my gosh. I can't even imagine. I'll go one day. One day when I'm, you know, able to afford a plane ticket over to England. My God.
No.
Plane flights are ridiculous right now.
I'm sure she'll be giving us a call back here shortly. Yeah, I have to. So you don't watch the falls. You can't watch the YouTube videos with the falls, huh?
No. And that video that you guys sent me, or it was I think it was on Eventing Nation. I was looking for Karen's fall because the horse broke a rib and it was a little bit unique, apparently. And I clicked on it, and the first thing is a horse, you know, basically chesting a fence and going down. And I just can't watch that. I, as a competitor, I don't know. It just, it would make me scared during my ride, and I don't need that kind of fear. Does that make sense?
Right. Right. Oh, no, it makes perfect sense. I get it.
Yeah. So I never watch those, and I find it amazing that people will buy, eventers will buy, like, the thrills and spills of eventing and buy those videos and watch them. That terrifies me. I don't even want to know it's possible. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. Hi, Katie, we have you back here.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm not sure quite what happened.
Well, it's England to the United States, so things happen. So you were up to show jumping day.
That's right. The one thing I would like just to add on the cross country is there were a lot of tired horses out there, which we put down really to the heat. It was uncharacteristically hot. We had 26 or 27 degrees on cross country day, which for the UK in April, that's a miracle. So, to add to that,
you had a very tough winter. You usually don't have as much snow and as you did, so I'm sure some of the horses weren't getting the work that they were used to getting either.
That's right. It was tough. We had a lot of snow, but there were some tired horses out there, and a lot of the riders were having to really baby their horses around the course to get them home safe, which they did. It was a thrilling day, I have to say, which just set us up into a great place for the show jumping on the final day. Mark Todd, who, as you know, retired from eventing in 2000, went back to New Zealand and trained racehorses for a while. He actually told us that he came back to eventing because of a bet in 2008. He had
You're
a bet
kidding.
With a friend. No, absolutely not. This is from Mark's own lips. He had a bet with a friend early 2008 that he could get a horse and get it to the Beijing Olympics in a space of about 7 or 8 months. And that's exactly what he did. He found Gandalf, and he went to the Olympics. And obviously, since then, his career has gone from strength to strength, and he was leading with Land Vision as he went into the show jumping phase. And the course for the show jumping, again, we've got images on our website, so if anyone wants to have a look close up at what the show jumping fences look like, go and have a look at horseandcountry.tv. We've got all the images there. The course looked kind of kind when we walked it, but there was a particular bogey fence on 11B, and it was claiming a lot of riders. There were a lot of poles falling from that fence. But the top 12 riders had a pole between them for the winning spot. So Mark went into that show jumping arena, and he could not afford to roll one pole, and he had to go within the time or he'd lose the lead. And, of course, he was last to go. So, you know, we watched the leaders going through, and people you would never expect to drop a pole were dropping a pole. And then Mark came in and basically just showed everyone how it's done. It was a superb round. It was really stylish, really cool, really calm. And, of course, he claimed badminton 31 years after he first competed there.
Wow.
That's phenomenal. Now, for those who don't know, I mean, well, first of all, I just read something that Mark Todd said that Land Vision is the best horse he's ever ridden. And that's saying something, because the man has ridden everything.
He bought the horse from Oliver Townend. It's owned by New Zealand Bloodstock, I believe. And, I mean, he was full of praise for the horse. He's relatively young as well. He's not I wouldn't say an overly experienced horse, but he's definitely a force to be reckoned with out there. But we interviewed Mark straight after his win, which was fantastic because he was so excited, we were so excited, everyone was so excited. So, again, the video of our interview is on our website too.
And what's amazing, too, is that Mark Todd is going to be competing at Rolex. And I believe after his win at badminton, he is currently right now on an airplane flying to Lexington, Kentucky, to then take over the reins of his horses that are already here in the States to ride in Rolex. So for those who don't know, Mark Todd has a long storied history. He's one of the greatest eventers of all time. As she was saying, he retired and then came back. I didn't know it was on a bet, and is just dominating. And so it'll be interesting
to see.
Oh, phenomenal. So isn't there, and forgive me for not knowing this, isn't there a triple crown of events and the winner of badminton, then the winner of Rolex, and then the winner of one other event? Isn't that like some big prize money? Do you know about that?
Burley, yes. It's the Rolex Grand Slam. And they have to win all those events in a year. And the only person to win it so far is Pippa Funnell.
Yeah, a while ago.
Yeah, a while ago, definitely a while ago. I mean, I think partly.
I was just going to say, it doesn't have to be on the same horse, does it? It's just a rider, right?
No, no, it has to be the same rider in the same year.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, no, it can be different horses. He could do it, I think. But also, what a nice man. I mean, he's a fantastic guy, really approachable, really friendly, and really happy to stand and talk to fans, which you don't always see. So I think everyone, including the riders, were really glad for him. And when we were talking to the riders and saying, who do you think is going to win, they were all saying, oh, Toddy, 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 which was really nice.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, and they were right. The guy's amazing.
Absolutely.
So what else do you have from badminton?
There was a little dissatisfaction on the dressage judging. Paul Tapner actually tweeted about it and said that it wasn't a personal best for his horse, Kilfinney, but he was very happy with him. But he felt the judges were obviously still sleepy and stingy with their marks. And I have to say, from watching in the stands... Sometimes I wasn't sure if I was watching the same tests as the judges, I have to say.
Yeah, well, that happens to me all the time. I mean, every time they're just stingy with their marks. I mean, come on. No, but you were thinking in that case it was actually really happening?
Yeah, I mean, you can never say 100% because unless you're sitting in that judge's box, you don't know exactly what it is they're seeing. But the judge at B sometimes had riders on a 4 and the judge at C would have them on 8. And that's a huge discrepancy. Oh, wow. And I know, obviously, that's averaged out. But nevertheless, it's a huge discrepancy.
Ooh, 4s. That's painful from any side. But, yeah, that is a big discrepancy. But they had 3 judges out there, so hopefully it kind of averaged out. But, yeah, I can understand that it would be a little bit disconcerting to have such a huge difference in your scores from the judges at different parts of the arena.
Absolutely, absolutely. The other thing really to add about badminton was how amazing the ground was and what a great job the groundsman did at badminton. We had a lot of emails and tweets coming to us while we were providing our coverage from people very concerned about the ground and thinking that it was far too hard. But the groundsman had been watering and aerating the ground for weeks and weeks. And I have to say, when we walked the course, it was springy as anything. I would have jumped some of those fences myself. But it really, really did feel good underfoot. I didn't,
cool.
Obviously. That would have been embarrassing.
Well, that's something we're not going to have to worry about at Rolex this weekend, is the ground is way too spongy right now. Not going to be watered. They don't need to water anything right now.
No, I've heard you've had a lot of rain.
Yep, yep. So now tell us, you have a blog of the week you want to talk about?
We do, yes. Again, relating to badminton, we followed a young eventer called Gemma Tattersall, who is the under-25 national champion in the UK. She rides a beautiful liver chestnut mare called King's Gem, or Princess Gemstone, as Gemma calls her. And it's her third or fourth badminton this year. And so we followed her, and there's daily video blogs from her, which are well worth checking out on our website, because she talks very technically about how she's approaching the courses, her plans, how she planned to ride her dressage test, and also about King's Gem's care. And it's really interesting and really nice to hear from a young eventer on how their career's going. So, again, that's all at horseandcountry.tv.
All right, and your video of the week.
Yeah, the video of the week. Again, badminton. We did so much filming over the weekend, and I have to say, I filmed everything on an iPad 2 and chucked it straight on our website. So I felt very new media.
You filmed it with the iPad?
I filmed it with the iPad. I was going around with a little iPad filming it. But there's interviews there with Clayton Fredericks, who was in the draw for badminton, but he pulled out because he wanted to concentrate on Kentucky. He's on his way to Kentucky now. There's interviews we've got two or three interviews with Mark Todd. There's one with Ruth Edge, Sharon Hunt, and all of Gemma's video blogs there. We also show some of the fences of both the grassroots and the proper competition. So if you visit horseandcountry.tv/badminton2011, you'll be able to see all our video content from the weekend.
All right. That's terrific. And next week, now you're going to have to find something new to talk about.
Oh, don't you worry. There's always loads happening. One more thing to add about HRTV. This week on HRTV,
yes.
I'm really excited to be able to tell you this. HRTV this week begins showing our series At Home with Carl Hester, which is, as you'll know, one of the UK's leading dressage riders. And I have to say, I've been to Carl's yard, and I've spent time with Carl there. And this series is such an accurate reflection of Carl and his yard. It really, really does show off his horses and how he cares for them. So do tune into HRTV and have a look at that.
All right. Terrific. Well, we appreciate you and Horse and Country for joining us every week, and we'll talk to you next week after we're done with our Rolex coverage. Oh, you know what? We won't talk to you next week. We're actually off on Tuesday next week. We're doing coverage all the way through Sunday. We're going live Saturday and Sunday, and we're going to be off Monday and Tuesday. So I think it'll be 2 weeks till we talk to you again.
Okay, fabulous.
All right, sounds good. Thank you, Katie. Appreciate it.
Have fun with Rolex.
All right, we will.
Thank you.
All right,
take
bye-bye.
Care. Bye.
She would have been so mad at you had you not told her that you weren't going to be there.
I know, she didn't call in and we wouldn't have been here.
Like, nobody's answering.
We do want to remind everybody that we will be live Thursday through Sunday. It'll be Saturday and Sunday. Don't miss it. Of course, we'll be putting out the recorded version immediately after. Same thing with the eventing show. Chris will be live Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock Eastern through Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock Eastern. The show this year, they're predicting it'll run from 10 o'clock to about 3:30 with the competitors. There's only 55 entrants, so it's down a little bit. And it won't take as long each day. And of course, there's a couple that will drop out. There's always a couple that drop out right before. So we hope everybody joins us again tomorrow morning. Jamie will not have left yet. You'll still be at home, right?
Yes, I will still be at home. My flight takes off 3:30 our time. I arrive in Louisville at 9:30. Not that I've completely got everything memorized or anything like that. So where my friend Nancy will pick me up at the airport, and we're going to go back to her house, and then we're going to get up early. We're driving to Lexington from Louisville, and then we're going to meet you guys at the horse park. I'm so excited.
Yay! You know what I'm really excited about, too, is actually recording with you in person.
Oh, I know. I'm definitely excited about that, too. I got to tell you guys, my husband's like, we booked a vacation to Hawaii, and he's like, I bought the tickets to Hawaii, and he's like, I'm like, oh, yay, I can't wait. And you mentioned the word Rolex, and I jump up and down and clap my hands. So he's a little mad. I got to kind of like, honey, I'm more excited about Hawaii than Rolex. Yeah,
you know, Hawaii's
totally.
Not bad either, though, when you think about
it. Oh,
I'm so excited.
But
you have a lot of time to get excited about that on Monday of next week.
Exactly. One thing at a time. I got to focus. So, yeah. But it'll be great. I'm excited, and I can't wait to record, broadcast live, I guess. Not even record. Broadcast live with you in person.
That'll be fun. We don't get to do that too often, that's for sure. So we'll be back, everybody, tomorrow morning. Don't forget you can catch our recorded shows at horsesinthemorning.com and follow all the links from today's show on our Facebook page. Want to give a shout-out. We thank Susan for writing in about how her dog steals everything off the counter as well. I got to say that our cat yesterday has a habit of counter surfing, but he takes everything off the counter, brings it into Jennifer's office, and eats it there. And yesterday I found him with an entire loaf of bread and with the bag all torn open, just eating slice after slice of bread. So
nice.
There you go. Yeah,
nice,
not just dogs. So we'll be back again tomorrow. Say goodbye, Jamie.
Goodbye, everybody. Wear your helmets.